And for all those that used to come, I just, you know, it's not too late for him to get back down here. Amen. Hallelujah. There's plenty to do. But anyway, we have the Valiant group with us today, and they're going to be sharing with us, several of them. We've got a whole lot of preachers among us, so we want to give each one of them an hour and a half. And so that should get us till about midnight, and then we'll do something fun. Amen. I'm going to give this to Barbara. She knows more about what's next than I do.
At this time, we'll dismiss the children and youth to go to their children and nursery to go to their classes. Hallelujah. And we have quite a few, and we just have felt they have things on their heart to share. And after our mission team shares the different ones of them, then Leon's going to be wrapping it up with power. And so just be popcorn. And if you have something on your heart and want to share, just get up and we'll just pass the torch from one to the other. Hallelujah. Connie, come on up. Hallelujah. We're just so pleased to have our team this week. Amen.
Okay. They had said something about sharing about missions, and I will try to tell you without crying. But the first year I came, it must have been, I'm thinking Lucy wasn't even around yet. I think maybe Maria was pregnant. I'm not sure. It's been several years ago. And Rod McLean, who actually has this group, would come through churches, because he's an evangelist, come to different churches and always talk about Mexico. And so I just felt my heart, because my dad and, you know, my grandparents and stuff were from different areas in Mexico, that I wanted to go on that mission trip. I didn't quite feel like I was qualified. You know, you just don't feel like, oh, I don't know enough word. I don't know enough about God. I'm not close enough to God. I don't pray enough. I don't do a lot of things that I should do. And so I think I missed the first year. And then the second year, it was like, okay, I'm going. And so I came. And, of course, we got here and we got to Calvin and Barbara's house. At the time, I thought that Bobby was Barbara's husband, because when I I would talk to Bobby, and I thought, oh, and then Calvin and Barbara pick us up from the hotel. And I was like, then later on I met Bobby. But anyways, that evening we gathered around and we began to pray. And then we went around and more or less said, like, okay, what is your field? And we went around and we had, you know, a pastor and we had a Bible college student. And the closer it got to me, I think the more my hands, I felt sorry for the people I was standing next to, the more my hands began to sweat. And I'm just thinking, I'm not a Bible student, I'm not a pastor, I'm not an evangelist, I'm not, and my mind is just racing, like, what am I going to be? You know, I'm not any of these things. I'm just, I guess, available, but that just doesn't sound like the right thing I should be saying in this little circle. And so we went around and they said, what is your ministry? And I said, helps. Yeah. There was no other ministry I could think of, because I thought, I guess I'll just help. Whatever I can do, I'll help. But I went, and it was sort of frightening at first, but once I got there, everyone was so accepting. If I did screw up, no one said anything. You know, I didn't get corrected. God didn't beat me down. He didn't. We went, we shared, we prayed with people, and when I left there, the week had passed so quickly, and I really wasn't ready to come home. And Calvin and Barbara dropped me off at the airport, and I remember just crying and thinking, oh, Lord, don't ever tell me I can't go back. You know, it just, Mexico and missions in that area just dropped in my heart. And it wasn't because I was this pastor or a pastor's wife or anything grand. I just had the heart to go check it out. And God's grace and mercy has brought me 20-some years later, here I am, coming to Mexico, and it's just, it's so wonderful, just wonderful. I just wanted to share that with you.
Hi, my name's Dale. I'm Connie's husband. I, too, was a lot like her when I first started coming on missions trips, because I had no idea what to expect, and I, too, knew nothing about the word that well, and I didn't understand why I was here. In the first couple of years, I felt that way. You know, but I've learned and grown, and I'm still growing. You know, it's just so neat to come and minister to all the people and just love on them. I mean, loving on them is just as well as giving them the word, because they need the loving too. They need to know that you love them just like Jesus loves them. because they don't understand how much Jesus loves them until you start loving on them, because you have the love of Jesus in you. And it's just been a great experience for us, and that's why I keep coming back.
Hello, my name is Debbie, and this is my 8th year, and my husband, Alan, this is his 6th year. And why do I come down? It just feels not right not to come. And if I couldn't come, I just won't be able to end the year right. And one of the things I love is the Lord does, I think, every year I come down, he'll give me a song. And last year he gave me a song, and last night he gave me a song, and then this morning when Connie was praying, I think it was Connie, she said these words, and it clicked something down inside of me, and it went along with what Pastor Calvino was saying, and about, you know, not just, you don't just walk and listen to the Holy Spirit when you're sitting in church, but it's every second of every minute of every hour of every day. And the song just immediately dropped down into my heart, and it's every second of every minute of every hour of every day, we praise your name. Every second of every minute of every hour of every day, we praise your name. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we praise you every day. Jesus, we praise you. Jesus, we praise you. Jesus, we praise you every day. Every second of every minute of every hour of every day, we praise your name. Every second of every minute of every hour of every day, we praise your name. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we praise you every day. Jesus, we praise you. Jesus, we praise you. Jesus, we praise you every day.
All right, well, praise the Lord. My name's Alan. That's Debbie's my wife. I can't really kind of explain the spiritual deposit that's made into my life by Calvin and Barbara. I do things with the guys I work with that Calvin does to me when we're on a missions trip, and you know how Calvin looks at somebody and says, "You did good," right? I do that to my guys at work. I say, "You did good." Just like Calvin does, she made a deposit in me to bless people with my words, even when they weren't probably doing good. You know what I mean? And so, we consider this. Well, I consider this one of the greatest privileges of my life. It's a highlight of my year, and the deposit it's made in me. And then I got one more thing. I believe that Pastor Barbara was talking about if we had anything from the Holy Spirit to go ahead and flow with it. So take a step of faith here. I just felt like I had a word of knowledge about somebody's brain. And it's a medical condition. I don't know who it is or what it is. But I feel like somebody has a, it's a chronic medical condition in your brain. And it's not, you're not fatal. I don't know if it's headaches, migraines, or what it is. But if that's you, we want to pray for you and you'll be healed. I don't know what it's whatever. So, who is it? I'll stand here. Oh, is that you? Oh, okay. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, the Apostle Peter, when he prayed for, when the man at the gate beautiful said, looked at him and said, was begging, and Jesus said, or Peter said, I don't have nothing, but what I have, I give to you. And he gave him the name of Jesus, and that's the authority we pray. So we don't pray for the sick anymore. We command the sick to be healed.
Yeah.
We command the sick to be healed. So in the name of Jesus, I command this to be healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's done. Amen. Thank you, Lord. The name of Jesus is powerful. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Who else? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Anybody else? Whoo, glory to God. The name of Jesus. Healing power. The healing power of God is in this place today, and it's for you if you need it. Our team will minister to you, and you'll be healed. Amen. All right. Anybody? Who's next? Jason. Glory to God.
Good morning. My name is Jason. This is my first time coming. Praise and worship was awesome. Thank you for that. It was amazing. I guess, first of all, I'd like to say I'm glad God is very patient. It's been about a 7 to 8 year, I'd like to say it was a battle. It was a battle for me, not for him. That he's been working on me, just kind of stirring this up. And about 2 weeks ago, maybe a little longer than that, it just was really coming to a head. Him and I were going back and forth, back and forth. And, you can see who won. I'm standing here. But we were just going back and forth. And I just didn't want to say, okay, God, because I knew as soon as I said it, that was it. That meant it was going to happen. And, boy, I sat there. I wouldn't say it. And finally, when I did, I'm telling you, it felt like a 1,000-pound weight just lifted off me. It was absolutely amazing. I just about fell over. And I tell you, I've just been so blessed with the church that we attend and the people. And thank you for the hospitality. It was awesome. So anyways, thank you for giving me a few minutes just to say my testimony. I appreciate that.
Amen. Good morning. How are you all today? Doing good? I, like Ellen, have something that I need to share that I feel that really God placed on my heart to minister to you guys today. We all live busy lives. I mean, mine starts at 5:15 in the morning and doesn't get over till like 11 in the evening. So there's always that you're on the go. And we pray and we read our Bibles and we go, you know, and we're driving down the road speaking in tongues, praying. But there's someone here that, probably several of you, that you just can't quite get the answer that you're looking for. You're doing everything right, you're quoting scripture, you're speaking the right words, you pray, you do everything you think of doing, but there's one little thing that we all tend to sometimes get by without doing, and that's just being quiet before the Lord. Sometimes you need to just, after you're done praying, or sometimes you just need to just even not pray and just say, God, I mean, I find my best answers from God when I do this. God, I have prayed, I have seeked, I have read my Bible. You know, I've done everything possible. Right now, I'm not doing anything except getting in your presence. Don't even turn on the music. Just get in his presence in your room or wherever. And just say, God, you know everything that I've been praying for. You know everything that I've been believing for. You know, because I've taken it to you for so long, and I'm still not getting that answer. I'm still not pressing through to where I need to be. And that's when you just say, I'm just not going to ask you for nothing today. I'm going to get in your presence. I'm going to shut my mind off. I'm not going to pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to quote scripture. I'm just going to get in your presence and get quiet before you and take that time. Just take that time to be quiet and silent, because that's when you'll get your answer. That is when you'll get your answer. You know, and sometimes I've gotten my best answers when I'm doing my dishes, because when I start cleaning up my kitchen, my family's like, phew. They're gone. And I enjoy that because it's like I'm just by myself, you know, and I'll start singing or something and just, you know, doing the dishes, getting quiet, and God will start ministering to me because I'm just getting quiet before God and waiting for that answer. And sometimes we just need to do that before God. We just need to stop and say, okay, I just need that silence. And I can guarantee you, if you'll just get silent before the Lord and just get in his presence, you'll find the answer and you'll press through to what you need. That, you know, whatever you've been asking for, whatever you've been seeking after God for, he'll show up and you'll get that answer. And it could be something so simple that you've been fighting and battling with, and it's just a simple little do this. And sometimes it may sound silly. Sometimes it may sound really silly. And I'll give you a little example. When our kids were little, and of course my husband, you know, he was at the time he was a drug addict and everything else. And we had 7 loans out, 3 to 4 months behind everything. We were just in debt farther than debt could go in debt. And I did that. I got before God. And he just, very simply, that day just told me, take the bills, divide them up in this way, put them in this type of an envelope, anoint them with oil, and say this prayer every day. And within 3 months, every bill was caught up to date. But we didn't get any money. Nobody gave us money. But, you know, the loan companies and everybody that were mean all of a sudden changed their hearts and started working with us, you know. And they would take that those payments that were behind and put them at the end. And all of a sudden people were, and Leon and I, we don't discuss our finances with anybody but each other. And all of a sudden people were like knocking at my door, just bringing us food. A couple had us come over one night for supper. And we went over, and when we left, they had just slaughtered a cow and filled our whole trunk and back seat with food while we were inside, you know. And we were only living off $35 a week of groceries, and that's with buying diapers, you know. So, but you know what? That one time, and he didn't do anything, you know, here's $1,000. But he changed the hearts and the minds of the people around us. He changed my attitude, and you know what? It's just that time that God will say, okay, I've been waiting for you to silence so I can talk to you. So just a short little interruption there. But as far as mission goes, there's different facets of missions. There's the ones that go and stay out in the mission field and live there. There's ones like what we do. We just, you know, we go and come back. And then there's ones that give money, you know, which in order to go on missions, you need that money to be able to go. And then there's ones that just, they stay back and they hold the ropes and they pray for you. And they, you know, if our face is going before you, you're praying for us, which really is a help sometimes. And so, you know, if you're out there and you're like, you know, I can't get into this mission thing. Maybe you're just supposed to send people. Maybe you have the money to send people. Maybe you're just supposed to stay back and pray. It's all important in the body of Christ because, you know, every piece of it is needed. Every bit is needed for those that go, for those that... Because if all you're doing is sending money, well, think about it this way. You're sending us to go, and for every life that's changed, you're a part of that life that's changed. You might not be there directly, but you're a part of that. They're a part of that, you know? And sometimes you don't even have the money to do it, but you're creative. I know people that just, they're creative, and they'll just bring stuff, and they'll just sell things, and they'll use that money just to give into missions. But you know what? It's not about how much you give. It's about what you're giving through the heart of God that matters. It's the heart of God where you stand with that. So, you know, maybe you're not called to go. Maybe you're not called to stay. Maybe you're not, you know, whatever it may be. But just remember, you know, if praying is a major part, praying for those that are out in the mission field. Because, you know, sometimes I'll be in prayer and there all of a sudden there'll be this face and I don't know who it is, but I know that it's somebody out in the mission field that just needs that prayer. They're tugging. And, you know, that's just as important. So don't think that, you know, just because you can't get out there and just because you can't go, that you're not of value, because every bit of it is of value.
No? Yeah, hallelujah. I guess it's my turn. I wasn't sure if we take a commercial break right now or we continue on. But we will take a commercial break. So when Alan was up here standing, there was one other person. Now, you deal with them headaches on a continual basis. You know, you came to church today expecting something from God. Well, why not God let God do what God needs to do? There ain't no reason to go through that mess anymore. He loves you so much that he sent somebody here from Sterling, Illinois, and impressed upon him to say something for a specific reason. So go ahead and come up and let him lay hands on you. Let God do what God does best. That's touch bodies. So if you're dealing with those migraine headaches, if you're dealing with something, and you know, please don't. This ain't a time to say well. No, this is a time to say yeah. So if that's you, go ahead and jump up here real quick so Alan can lay hands on you, so God can do what God needs to do. Otherwise, I'll dance. I can't dance for very long. Whew. Hallelujah. So that's nobody. I mean, I could be very specific because I know who the person is. I mean, if you want me to come and do that way, I will. Or you want me to dance some more? I mean, I can dance. I'm a dancer. It's been a long time since I danced, but I can dance. Hallelujah. No, there's none. They know that. Hallelujah. Father, I want to lift up Pops and Vi to you right now. We love Pops and Vi. We love that spirit that they carry with them. We love that. Father, I love Pops and Vi. I love what you do in their lives. I love the gift that's on both of their lives. Father, they are so missed this week. So missed. Even right now, my heart gets a little heavy because they're missed. Father, I ask you right now that you would strengthen that flesh. That you would strengthen that body. There's still more to come. There's still more to do. There's still more areas that they need to go into and to move forward in. Father, I thank you for Pops and Vi. I thank you, Father, for his boldness. His boldness causes you not to be slack. When you get around him in his boldness, it'll cause you not to be slack. It'll cause you to begin to get a little bit of a juice running through your veins. I thank you, Father, for Pops. I thank you for Vi. I thank you that right now, from the very soles of their feet to the follicles of their hair, that they're healed, whole, and complete. Nothing lacking, nothing missing. Everything functioning to the perfection with which it was created in. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, for them. In Jesus' name, amen. So there was a couple other things I wanted to do first. Where's Eric and his wife at? Are they teaching? Can somebody take their place real quick? Is that possible? No, you guys can't go too far either. No, you guys got to stay here. You know, I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the moving and the working of the Spirit of God. Now, if you're not there, that's okay. You know, I was sitting in a crack house in Rockford, Illinois. You know, God will visit a crack house? Now, that upsets your religious tradition? Good. Because my story will upset your religious traditions. Jesus showed up in a crack house in Rockford, Illinois. My wife was praying. She prayed, Lord, send forth laborers across my husband. That he would know the glorious gospel of... He would know. He would know. But let me tell you something. God wasn't going to find me in church. I wanted nothing to do with church. I'd never been to church a day in my life. Nor would I planning on going to church. I was selling dope to the church people. I was getting drunk with the church people. I didn't see any answers for me. Now, them church people don't go here. This was at a different church. But God met her and answered her prayer in a crack house. I was sitting there with a guy hitting on a pipe. And he looked at me and he posed a question. He said, Leon, do you know Jesus? Well, the answer to that question was, Jesus who? Now, you could say, well, everybody's heard of Jesus. No, they ain't. I never heard of Jesus. Now, my background and my personality at that time, I thought that Jesus was the old boy that I was gonna throw down with that night. Now, if you don't know what throw down means, I mean, we're going to fight. I like that lifestyle. So I'm looking around trying to figure out which one Jesus was. And then he began to go a little step farther. Told me about Jesus, the Son. He preached the gospel to me, hitting on a crack pipe. But the way he preached it was through questions. Because the Holy Spirit was dealing with him. So please don't ever discount what the Holy Spirit can do. Well, I think I stepped on some religious doctrines. You know, that's all right. Sometimes they got to get kicked around anyway. God don't operate in your box anyway. He don't operate in my box. We all set up a box for God. He don't work in that box. Woo, praise the Lord, brother. Say it again. Well, okay, I can. Thank you. He don't operate in your box. Anyway. I left that church that day, or that church, that crack house, and it wasn't a church. You know, I ended up going back to that crack house a year and a half after I got born again, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, and 35 people got born again in that crack house. Set free by the power of God. We walked in there and people laying all over the place. Now, I can sometimes get loud. Normally I don't, but I can. I walked into that crack house. Took a little old youth pastor with us who had never been around anything like that. I said, Jesus is alive! Well, you know, you say something like that, you get somebody's attention. You know, immediately people were sober. Immediately. And that day there was lives changed. That day there was lives changed, just like mine was changed. And I've never been the same again. I've never been the same again. Nor will I ever be the same again. I keep pushing further and further and further and further. Go ahead and stand up here if you don't mind for a minute. Y'all don't know if you know it, but this is a strategic place in the things of God. Strategic. Remember the old boy that had a little old lunch? You know that was strategic in feeding some boys? Remember that mule that old boy had? And Jesus told his disciples, hey, go on up over there and get that mule. Go on. You guys need to stand up too. You know, Reuben, get up here too. But anyway, Jesus told his disciples, hey, go on up over there and grab that mule. And you know, I don't know about you. You want me to go get a mule? We ain't got no money. Let's see. Mule. No money. What are we going to say? What'd he tell them? He told them boys, tell them the Lord had need of it. It was a strategic. For that time, for that day, for that hour, it was strategic. Very strategic. There's a reason why you're in the place you are today. It's very strategic. 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 When things start irritating you a little bit, things don't feel right. Feeling got nothing to do with strategic. Feeling got nothing to do with that. You're in a strategic place. You'll no longer operate in the natural sense of pastoring. You'll find yourself all of a sudden taking that step up. And you'll step up and you'll step up and you'll step up. And it'll be supernatural. It'll no longer be natural. It'll be supernatural. You'll know things that nobody else knows. And all of a sudden you'll begin to proclaim those things. You'll begin to proclaim those things. And all of a sudden you'll take that step up. Because strategically you've been placed here. It's not of your choice. It's all of His choice. It's strategic. It's strategic. It's strategic. It's strategic. It's strategic. And you'll find yourself, all of a sudden, you'll find yourself in an area of prayer. And you'll find yourself knowing things. You'll find yourself praying things. You'll find, don't stop there. Don't stop there. Press on. Press on. Press on. Press on. You're more qualified than you give yourself credit for. You don't give yourself enough credit. You got to give yourself credit. You got to give yourself credit. He specifically placed you here for this strategic point of time. You're like your little boy that had the lunch. If he had never had that lunch today, he would have never been strategic in that part of the gospel of feeding them boys, would he? He wouldn't have been. They may not know your name. He knows your name. He knows your address. He knows everything about you. You'll see. You'll see. There'll be something that'll be increasing. There'll be an increase. There'll be an increase. Where you've been a little bit frustrated, it'll just lay down because you won't care about it anymore. All of a sudden, you'll begin to see an increase. You'll see an increase. You'll see an increase. You'll find yourself, they'll be bringing these, you'll see the hand of the Lord come on you. You'll find yourself attracted to smaller little babies. And all of a sudden, the hand of the Lord will be on you. And there'll be an evident change in them babies' lives. There'll be an evident change. There'll be an evident change. There'll be an evident change. Thank you, Father, for the gift on her life. She's not even tapped into it. She doesn't even recognize it. But I thank you, Father, that it's rising up on the inside. It's rising up on the inside. That gift is rising up on the inside. Come here, sweetheart. That gift is rising up on the inside. It's rising up on the inside. Put your hand on her belly. Yeah. Yeah, flow like a river. Like a river, like a river, like a river. Never to be the same again. Never to be the same again. Like a river, like a river, like a river. It'll flow, it'll flow, it'll flow, it'll flow, it'll flow, it'll flow, it'll flow. He'll find himself there. He'll find it, he'll find it, he'll find it, he'll find it. People will ask him, how do you do that? How do you do that? How do you do that? And he'll have the wisdom because he'll have the word. He'll know. He'll say, it's not like this. It's not ABC. It's actually GLQ. They won't.
won't understand. They'll say, "How do you get the? How does a man like you? How does this happen? How does this happen?" You'll find yourself pastoring supernatural. You've been put in this place for a reason. You're His property. Placed in this place for a reason. Placed in this place for this season. Placed on this place for this day. Is everybody all right? Because I am. Whew. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sweetheart, it's all really good.
They'll no longer be words of somebody else's name. There'll be people in heaven because you wrote, prayed out heaven, because you sought out heaven.
And all of a sudden, that spirit of the God will rise up on the inside of you. And you say, "Yeah, my wife's telling. I ain't talking about your wife. I'm talking about you." Them words will begin to bubble up on the inside of you. And you'll tell her, "Baby, look at this. Look at this. Let me sing this. And then she'll grab it and she'll say, "Oh, that's it." And then all of a sudden, that anointing will follow after them words that come from heaven. Strategically placed for this day, for this hour, for this day, and for this hour. Strategically placed. You keep seeking after Him. He got your back. Now, it'd be somebody that would come up alongside you, sweetheart. They got talent, but they ain't all they got. You'll know on your inside. You'll know. Sometimes it ain't easy to say, "No, I can't, but you're going to have to do that. You can't allow that person to join up with you." Now, I know that ain't probably what you want to hear, but they're going to come up and try to join up on you. You can't. You have to stop. You say, "No, we're going to go a different direction. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Here's a tambourine. Go tap it in the seat. Praise the Lord." And it ain't me, because I can't tap a tambourine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Songs from heaven. Under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Sounds from heaven that bring healing to a nation. Sounds from heaven that bring healing to a city. Sounds of heaven that bring healing to a home. Hallelujah. Songs from heaven. Hallelujah. While I'm going over here to Reuben, if you don't mind, turn to Mark chapter 5, verse 23. Hallelujah. Oh, buddy, He ain't forgot about you. He ain't passed you over. You're right on time. Get up here. You're right on time. You ain't late and you ain't ahead. You're right on time. Am I hurting you? Good, I'm going to hit you harder. Hallelujah. You know, it was a privilege today. Hallelujah. It's a privilege today to drive 900 plus miles and lead somebody to Jesus today. You know, God always put you in the right place at the right time for the right results. A young man, he walking by the church here, and I had the privilege of leading him to Jesus. I don't never miss out on those opportunities. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You guys can sit down if you want. You don't have to. You know, sometimes in our Christian walk and sometimes we'll believe in God for things. Sometimes them things don't seem to be happening. Sometimes the thing seems like I don't know if it was my wife or somebody had said, now I don't even know what they said. Huh. Well, I'll know here in a minute. Let me come over here. Sometimes people wonder, where's God? Where's God in this situation? Where's God at? What's God doing? You know, it's parts of what my wife tells you that you don't know about. My wife was believing God for me for 2 years. And you know, in those 2 years of believing God for me, I never got better. I got worse. I'd be gone 6-7 days out on a binge. Then I'd come home and my first words out of my mouth when I come home weren't pleasant. I'd cuss at her, yell at her, spit on her. I'm only trying to justify my actions. The way that you justify your actions is to make somebody else look responsible. That's how you justify your actions. So I would treat her bad. You know, at first I noticed that she'd get a little angry back with me. But then all of a sudden, God started doing something in her life. When he started doing something in her life, she was no longer like that anymore. I'd come home and I'd cuss at her, yell at her. All of a sudden, she wouldn't say anything. Well, to me, that wasn't acceptable. I got to have a little bit of, a little bit of argument, right? I mean, you got to yell back at me. I mean, that's how things work. We've been married, 31 years? 31 years is a couple years. We were 10 years old when we got married. So, I'd pick up my tempo and yelling at her. Well, it didn't have any results. I'd get wore out and I'd go pass out in the bed. One time I woke up because the Spirit of God had told her, anoint your man with oil. That's what he told her. When you wake up covered in oil, something's wrong. Now, you got to understand, I was kind of a blackout drunk. So from my perspective, to wake up in oil, I got to wonder, all right, what did we do last night? I mean, I'm slick with oil from my hair all the way down to my feet. Well, she had took a whole bottle of the cooking oil and just dumped it all over me. Now, sometimes I wonder, was that some of that anger? And she thought, yeah, all right. So I get up in the morning and I said, what did you do to me? She said, well, I wasn't out drinking all night. Now I got a question. All right, so where was I? I'm trying to relieve my footsteps where I was at. And, of course, when you're a blackout drunk, they only go to a point, and then you don't remember no more. But, those things had an impact in my life. Sitting in Rochelle, Illinois, in a bar in Rochelle, Illinois called the Poor House. The reason why it was called the Poor House, because you were always broke after you left. Sitting in that bar, and an old boy that I knew, that I partied with, he come running in the bar. He's shouting, I love Jesus! He got up on the bar and got to dancing, shouting he loved Jesus. I thought at the time, I thought he was tripping on LSD. He got off the bar and he came around and he wrapped his arms around me. He said, Leon, I got saved. Now, when you ain't never been in a church before, I'm pretty sure I had no idea what he said. My thinking was safe, safe from what? Dog, car, guns, knives. Made an impact in my life. He walked up in front of that bar for over an hour, shouting, I love Jesus. Later on, I found out that he was walking by a little four-square church. You know how you got your doors open here? That's a good thing. They was up in there singing songs from heaven. He walking up. He didn't have a driver's license. He walking by the church. Those songs from heaven all of a sudden began to penetrate his heart as he walked by. He told me, he said, I stopped and I turned towards the church and those words of that song were just pounding on my heart. He took a step into that church. Walk up to the front of the stage and looked at the guy singing the songs. Now in a lot of churches in around where we're at, the ushers ain't going to let old boy get that close. They're going to knock him in the head and drag him off into the back room. Maybe. It's a possibility. That guy quit playing the music and asked him what he wanted. He said, I need what that song said. And that day he got born again. That day he got filled with the Holy Ghost. His first stop was at the bar, and that was his last stop. He never went to a bar again after that. It was by a divine appointment that he went to that bar. It was by a prayer from a woman who's believing God and trusting God and has her confidence that God can do it. Whatever it is you got need of, God can do it. God can do it. Luke 1:37 in the Amplified, it says, for with God, nothing is ever impossible. Nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. That's what it says in the Amplified. Well, I'm just going to give them a little scripture. A little scripture? You mean you're going to throw a box of dynamite on them? That's what you meant to say. I'm going to throw a box of dynamite on them because there's explosive power in that word. That old boy, he's a pastor now today in West Virginia. Hallelujah. First time I ever heard anybody pray for me, he was praying for me. I worked in a meatpacking plant. He was on his knees in the meatpacking plant praying for me. I come around the corner and I heard these words. Jesus, I thank you that you would unveil and unfold yourself before Leon, that he would know that you're the true and the living God. I'm going to tell you something, that'd knock you right between your eyes. I never heard nobody ever pray for me. Now, she always says that she's praying for me, but I ain't going to listen to that. I run my house. I make up them rules. It's whatever I say, that's how it goes. Now, you all know that ain't true, but hey, you can still think that. And then all of a sudden, things are happening. I was coming from Chicago. I had 5 pounds of dope in my car. 5 ounces of cocaine. You know what that does to you if you get caught by the police? You go to penitentiary. I was drunk. I was smoking a joint. And I got pulled over. It's very interesting when you talk about certain things and you hear certain things. The moment I got pulled over, she was being woke. Pray. Pray. She began to pray in the Holy Ghost. Because you know that's the perfect will of God. You say, well, I don't know how to pray. Pray in the Holy Ghost. It's the perfect will of God. Isn't that what it says in Romans 8? Y'all filled with the Holy Ghost here? Everybody? So if I come up to you and put a mic in front of your face, you'll begin to speak in other tongues? No, oh, he's being a little pushy, ain't he? Somebody tell him to be quiet. I got the mic now. You can get it later. The guy came up to my car. I had a pistol. I had a thought. If I shoot him, everything's all right. If I shoot him, I just drive off. No big deal. That's what my mind's saying. But he came up and he asked me for my driver's license and my registration. He took it back to the car. Now my mind's thinking different. Now I'm thinking, all right, he's got all my identification. Now I can't shoot him. What can I do? Well, you know, they're going to bring the police. I mean, you don't smoke dope in your car and they not smell it. He came back and threw my license at me and my registration, walked back to his car and drove off. Drove off. Left me sit there. I ain't a good place to be sitting. Because now I'm thinking, all right, there's a reason. He's going to follow me to my house. He's going to raid my house. He's going to this. So I decided to take a country road, driving as fast as my car would go, and my car would go very fast at that time. I drove zigzag in every alley you could think of, thinking they was following me, and they weren't. Well, here I am today because of prayer, because of somebody believing God. Everybody turn to Matthew 5 yet? Y'all know this story. This ain't nothing new. Matthew 5 and chapter 23, actually 22, it said, behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, talking about Jesus. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. There's something about falling at his feet. There's something about falling at his feet, realizing that you're weak, that you can't do it. There's something about it. Getting to a point to where you realize that you can't do it. And he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Notice what he said here. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed, and she shall live. He's very specific in what he's asking, isn't he? You don't think he hasn't heard what you've asked? You don't think that he's heard you? Because he has. He has. Now, if you follow along in that story, there's an interruption in that plan. He gets off down the road, and here comes his old girl. The old girl has to have an interruption. Lord, I'm believing you. Now there's an interruption. Lord, I'm believing you. You need to do this. And all of a sudden, there's an interruption. It doesn't work the way you think it should. It doesn't go the way you think it should. He loves you so much, he values your words. He values your prayer. When I pray, it don't go, it don't do that. He's right up in heaven. Immediately. Immediately. When you pray, it's in heaven. Immediately, it's in his very presence when you pray. It's immediate. It's not a delay. It's not like live streaming. There's no buffering. It's there. It's there now. It's immediate. And he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed, and she shall live. Now let's go down to verse 35. Again, now we had an interruption. We had God doing something in somebody's life. You know, sometimes you can see God doing something in somebody's life, and then you're wondering, why ain't God doing that in my life? Maybe why ain't God doing that in my life? Why ain't he blessing me that way? Why ain't he blessing me that way? He will. He's no respecter of persons. He never has been, never will be. He doesn't love one over the other. Well, he loves me a lot better than you guys, but I mean, you know, that's just beside the point. No, that ain't true. He's not like that. Never has been, never will be. He doesn't love preachers more than you. He loves you, created you. He blessed you. Maybe there's some things in your life going on that maybe you're not seeing the blessing of God, but trust me, I think you woke up this morning as a blessing of God. I think you walked in here this morning. That's a blessing of God. You're right on time. You're right on time for what he needs to do. You're right on time for what he needs to do. This old boy, he runs up and catches a hold of Jesus, Jairus. You know, he ran with that crowd that didn't really much believe in Jesus, pretty much wanted to kill Jesus. He ran with that crowd. But all of a sudden, he seen something different in a man. He decided to grab a hold of what he saw. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, "Thy daughter's dead. Your prayer can't be answered. He can't meet your need. He can't heal your body. He can't save those in your family that have walked away." I mean, you can just lay the list out. Notice what Jesus said. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, you know, he hears the word that gets spoken to you. He hears it. You know, I like how in the Amplified it says, overhearing but ignoring what they said. Overhearing but ignoring what they said. Overhearing but ignoring what they said. Anybody that's telling you something that contrary to what you'll believe in God for, overhear it and ignore it. It's got nothing to do with your prayer. It's got nothing to do where you're standing. Everyone was telling my wife, "Where's your man? When's he going to come to church?" You know, sometimes you can hear them things and say, "I don't know, no deadbeat skunk laying at home drunk." Or she could say, "I don't know, I ain't seen him in a while." But that ain't what she said. You know what she say? Soon, soon, she chose to believe what she was believing God for. In the midst of your storm, that's where you got to be. Let your faith be your umbrella. Don't try to get you a natural umbrella out and try to fix your problems with a natural remedy. You already been believing him. Now let him do what he needs to do. He's the only one capable of doing it. Everything you get your hands into, you monkey it all up. It'll never work the way you want to. Ooh, praise the Lord. We having fun yet? Anybody mad at me? Is anybody mad at me yet? All right, I got to keep going then. Now hopefully I'm challenging you because I'm being challenged. You know, it's on my heart to work with people with addictions. I've done that for 17 years now. On my heart is to have a place to bring in families, to see them restored by the power of God. That's what's on our heart. Naturally speaking, everything says it ain't going to happen. I haven't had no boy sitting in his office looking at his piece of property. Told him what we wanted to do. You know what he told me and Audrey? Man of faith. You know what he said? That ain't going to happen. Well, I'll make you shout. In a positive way. Boy, I wanted to shout. It burned up on the inside of me. Liar! No, I didn't tell him that. I hear it. Because it's contrary to what I've been believing for. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." Believe what? Believe what? Come on, somebody can answer that question. I don't care. Believe what? Huh? Is that crickets out here? That ain't crickets. Believe what? Now you know I'm not going to go any farther until somebody answers that question. Believe what? Huh? Yeah. So what did he ask him in earlier? "Come and lay thy hands on my daughter." He made a request, didn't he? He was very specific in his request. "Come and lay thy hands on my daughter, she shall live and not die." He took him right back to where he was at. He took him back to what he had asked him. Let him take you back. It ain't over. It ain't over. If it ain't going the way you think it should, it ain't over. So many times we get right up there and we stop. The fight gets so hard and we get so bloodied. We get knocked around. And we give in. This ain't the time to give in. Me personally, when I was a drunk, did anybody else in here ever drink? Am I the only one? Man, me and you are the only one? Us three? Oh my God, I'm in the wrong spot. I could tell you a lot of times I drank to forget things, to brush off some of that pressure. Well, here in a few minutes, we're going to drink a little bit. We're going to drink in the Holy Ghost to relieve some of that pressure. As soon as Jesus heard the word, hallelujah. It ain't never over. It ain't never over. He didn't say it was over, it ain't over. He didn't say it's over, it ain't over. It ain't over. He's still working, he's still moving, he's still doing what he needs to do. Be very patient, because it's going to happen. Don't change. Go back to what you told him. You asked him. Now we go back and say, "Lord, your word said, I ain't no different than Jairus." He's going to do exactly what you asked him to do. I know there's been a lot of pressure. I know things haven't worked the way you thought they would. I know things have gotten a little bit messed up and in between our ears and all them thoughts and everything. Sweetheart. Nope. You're going to see. It's going to go just exactly like you asked him. Things are going to happen. You know, there's a reason why I'm saying this to you. A few days ago in prayer, I seen you. I seen you and I seen this day. I seen you and I seen this day. I seen you and I seen this day. There's a reason why. Today, you're going to get a little bit of freedom you've been needing. A little bit of pressure removed that you've been having. In a few minutes, when we get ready to pray, I need you to be the first one up there. Today, you need that pressure removed. But this is what I'm going to ask you. Not looking for somebody just to lay hands on you. No, you're looking for the Spirit of God to come upon you and remove some things. Because that's exactly what's going to happen. Hallelujah. I knew you was here when I seen you earlier. He wants to do some things, sweetheart, for you. Everybody else gets the benefit off it, but you specifically is the one he was looking for. That's a good thing. If you don't pray in tongues and you say, well, that guy, why is he doing that? I don't know. Sometimes you can't stop what comes bubbling up on the inside. Overhearing but ignoring what he said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, don't be seized with alarm and struck with fear. Only keep on believing. Only keep on believing. Only keep on believing, regardless of what it looks like. Regardless of what it sounds like. We keep on believing. We keep on moving. We keep on, you know, right now, if you don't mind, start preparing your heart. Preparing your heart. God wants to do something. He wants to do something. He wants to do something. He wants to do something. You'll notice it earlier. I'll just kind of paraphrase what happened after that. They went up to the house. Jesus turned around and told the other boys, get up out of there. He put them out. Let me be honest with you. Sometimes when people talk contrary to what you're believing, you got to put them out. Where's my mother? Put her out. Now, when I say put her out, I don't mean open the door, kick her out the door. No. I'm talking about the influence in your ear. Turn around and get some other influence in that other ear. Somebody that will believe God with you. Somebody that encourage you. That's what you got to have. And then as the end result, what happened? Oh, I know what happened. His daughter died. End of story. What church am I in? Every one of you got a Bible there, read that, know that ain't what happened. Yeah, you let me say that. Man, the devil get talking like that all day long. And you let him say it. He starts talking to you contrary to what the Word of God says, contrary to what you believe. And you let him say it. He don't talk to me like that. I don't put up with that. I get very boisterous. You know, there ain't only but one devil, and he ain't everywhere. He ain't God. He not omnipresent. He ain't here. Matter of fact, he took off running. You don't want no part of this. I know who I am. I woke up this morning, he's shaking. Oh, he's alive. How'd I know that was going to happen? Because that resurrected power lives on me. The life of God on the inside of me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you have been pressured. Some of you have been hurting. You've been believing God for so long, it hurts. Some of you have been settling for second best. There's no second best. God's the best. Some of you have been hurting real bad, disappointed. Now, you ain't going to say it publicly, but some of you think that God let you down. Some of you think God ain't done what God needs to do, let you down. That ain't true. He's not capable of that. It's not in his DNA. He ain't a man. He ain't like your brother that told you he was going to do this and he never did it. He ain't like that. He said, I'm not a man that I should lie, nor the son of man I should repent. Have I not said it? And shall I not make it good? That's what he said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me ask a question. How many of you in here been believing God for a while? A little bit disappointed. Things ain't been going the way they are. Is that anybody in here or is it just me? You need some relief from that pressure? Because you can say what you want, but it's pressure. When things don't seem to be going the way that you would like to see them go, it's pressure. It's pressure on your walk with God. It's sometimes it's what keeps you from moving further with him because you don't know whether he'll be there and whether he'll have your back. You wonder, has he got me? If I step out, has he got me? He's always got you. He's got you every minute of every day. He's got you. Hallelujah. Whenever you read in the book of Acts, you always see a term. They was filled with the Holy Ghost. Remember in Acts chapter 2 when they was in the upper room, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you remember what the evidence of that was other than speaking in tongues? Power to be a witness, but what else? Remember them old boys? They accused them of drinking wine. And who are these boys on a Sunday morning at, it's almost noon? Shoo. Sunday afternoon at noon. Good thing we got four more hours. They come rolling out of the church, out of that upper room, staggering, under the influence of the presence of God. Made an impact on their life. It caused an old boy that denied Christ how many times? Three times. caused that old boy to stand up with a boldness and begin to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it was added to that church daily. Then they took him back, and a few days later, whooped him. Said, hey, you can't be preaching. Not in that name. If you want to preach in sociology or you want to preach in humanistic principles, perfect. We're right up there with you. But don't be preaching in no power of the Holy Ghost. Don't be preaching in that name. That anointing, which is what that name means, the anointing. So if that's you, if you need prayer today, come up here. I want to see some things broken. God wants to break some things. You don't have to be shy. If you want me to, I'll come up here and pray for myself. I don't mind. Hallelujah. You know, that includes you guys. If you guys need prayer, that includes you. Hallelujah.